Okay, I'm gonna start recording. Go.
Hi, Clark. Yes, that would be wonderful. Clark, I'm Sherry Richardson, president. Hi, Betty. Nice to meet you. Yes.
My job is to verify that all the dogs are real. I check the tail.
Do they bite?
Okay.
Is everybody having a good morning? Yay! Okay. It's getting to be time for us to get started. So yes, let's start with the door prize. Vivian. You don't have anything yet? Okay. Listen up, everybody. We need a mic runner. Do we have one? Oh, there's Kevin. All right. Vivian needs it.
Thank you.
Thank you. That's right. Vivian is drawing for the door prize, everyone.
Kevin?
He doesn't. Nah.
Is that Kevin?
Yes, sir.
Hey, we need to change the batteries on the mic. Can we get to get them? Because after the last one, they didn't get shut off. So, they've been
so who do we
time.
Have?
Well, they told me they shut off the thing.
Oh.
The guy came in from the convention services. He says, don't worry about turning them off. We're going to shut the system down, and it'll preserve the mics. That's what he told me.
Whatever he did, he didn't do anything. Okay. So I told this particular individual to check on that, but she apparently it was lost in the translation. So I have the mic here. Right. I'm just going to, in between.
Hi.
Somebody's okay. There's a break up there. I'm going to switch batteries.
Thank you.
Oh, my gosh. Okay. Thank you. That is so sweet. Yep. For two, all right?
Okay.
Okay.
I'm going to give you the address.
All right. I will do that. Thank you.
Oh, sure.
Marlena speaking, and if you want to know what's in your doggy bags, okay, what you're getting, and these are from my guide dog Nisha and my retired guide dog Agnes. They work very hard to get their allowance to save up to buy these. These are organic dog cookies. They're made, I want to say, in they're made in Seattle, and I want to say the Fremont area. The name of the company is wetnose.com, And on the box, there's like a whole story about wet nose and how all the ingredients are natural and stuff like that. So Agnes and Nisha bought these at Costco, and then they instructed me to make individual goodie bags. So everybody will be getting a dozen dognose.com cookies. So they are for your dogs, not you. But they're organic and you could eat them. So.
Jill M.
M is the last name. Starts the last name.
Is, do we have a Jill here? Okay. All right. So I guess it goes to somebody else.
Okay.
Could it be Julie? Could it be Julie? Oh. Okay. Eric Vasquez. Eric Vasquez. Vasquez. Yes. Is Eric in here? Okay. Too bad. All right, Jeff. Yay! Dog toys. You get dog toys, Jeff. Yeah, really. Okay, let's get started, everybody. I know, I need to find the sweet spot on this microphone. Okay, I would like to first go around and say who's here. And those of you that were here at breakfast, you don't have to say your dog's name or anything else, just that who you are. But if you were not here at breakfast and you have a guide dog with you, please let us know who and where your dog is from. So I'll start. I'm Sherry Richardson, president of Guide Dog Users of Washington State.
Oh, my goodness.
Where's our mic?
Tell me when. Okay.
My name is Betty Bordner. And I am a friend of Clark's, your speaker for lunch. And my family, I've raised two guide dogs for the blind. And so this is a huge privilege for me to be here and see all these dogs in all of you. So God bless.
Thank you. Welcome.
Hi, I'm Kat Woofter, and I was here for breakfast.
Yep. And she's a member now, guys. Yay!
Good afternoon. I'm J.R. Kennison. I'm from Kitsap County. I work at Lighthouse. And, yes, I have a black lab from Guide Dogs for the Blind.
And also a new member. Yay!
Well, I'm a retread.
A retread. That counts.
My name is Eric Vasquez. I'm planning to become a member and have my first guide dog.
Great. Welcome.
You're right. You need to go back behind you. There you go. Introduce yourself, please.
This is Deb Lewis. And this morning I was elected to the board of directors, so thank you very much for that.
Yay!
And I'm Rick Lewis, just like this morning and just like last night.
And we're glad you're here.
We already did.
Hi, I'm Colette Arvidsson, new member, and
yay.
I'm here with Andy.
Yay. I'm Andy Arvidsson, also a new member.
New and,
yay, new member.
And from Anacortes, Washington.
Okay.
Byron Kazmarski, Dayton, Washington.
I am Holly Kazmarski, either his worst half or his better half, and I am treasurer of this fine group, and I'm also from Dayton, Washington.
Right now, you're his sick half.
right now, it's my tonsillitis, my laryngitis half.
Yes.
Richard Miller,
Shoreline.
Julie Miller, starting my 46th year with guide dogs.
I'm Jim Turry, Holly Turry's husband, and Sarah Turry's litter mate.
I'm Holly Turry, and guess what? I'm Jim Turry's wife.
Head table, guys. Here we go.
Okay. I'm Vivian Conger, secretary of this organization with Barbie, and I'm getting Holly's laryngitis.
Oh, no.
I'm Danette Dixon, and on the floor is Velma, and I'm on the board of GDUWS.
I'm Clark Roberts. I have Aurelia on the floor, and you get to hear more from me a little later because I'm your speaker for lunch.
Welcome, Clark.
Thank you.
We're very happy you're here.
Introduce yourself and pass the mic to your right.
Debbie Clark with Monica Black Lab from GDB.
Jeff Clark.
Gary Lieberg.
Marlena Lieberg, I'm Vice President of GDUWS.
Randy Builder from Seattle with Yasmin.
Yeah. Hi, Randy. Right. Welcome.
That's what I was doing.
I'm Haley Edick, and on the floor is Jethro from Guide Dogs of America.
Okay, Darlene, you're next.
Darlene Hilling with Guide Dog Barley, a yellow lab.
Haley Eggers with Guide Dog Farley.
Danielle Marr with my dog Brian, who is a yellow lab and golden retriever cross from Seeing Eye.
Josette Kernahan from Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada, and I'm currently in between dogs, hoping to get in February.
Rita Delek from Vancouver, British Columbia, and I have guide dog Katerina.
Queen Lian from China. I have my guide dog Candy, which is from Guide Dog of the Desert, and it's a yellow lab. It's 10 years old.
Thank you. Here we go. Please introduce yourself.
Lene Noggle from Enum Claw. My guide dog is Faith.
Hello, I'm Janine Prindle, also from Enum Claw, and I have Royce.
Me.
Oh, you get to hear me again. I'm Betty Sikama, and guide dog Bethers, who's a poodle.
Mark Adrian, and I am a new guide dog user, first time with my friend Trek. This is our 8-week working together, and I am anxious to get information on how to join. Okay.
Yes, I knew they'd be happy. I'll grab it. Thank you. I'm Julie Brannon, and I'm Mozart's mama.
And I'm trying to train her how to, you know, do the pickup after, but she doesn't want to do that for some reason. By the way, I'm Nathan Brannon, and on the table, I mean on the floor, he's not on the table, on the floor is my dog Mozart.
Can you introduce yourself, please?
Is that it, guys?
I'm Bill Hogue.
Oh, there we go.
And my guide dog is Tully from Guide Dogs in Boring.
Frank Cuda from Tri-Cities doing sound, and we're recording again.
All right. Thank you, Frank.
Andrea DiMicio from Capital City Council, and I'm here with my service dog, Mr. Bentley. We've been a team for 9 years, and I've been on the periphery watching you guys for years, and all your programs seem really interesting, and I have a working dog but not a guide dog, and I would still be interested in joining.
Come talk to us at the front table when we're done.
Kevin Daniel from Burien, right here, the representing the South King Council of the Blind. That is all, Madam President.
All right. Thank you so much, all of you, and thank you, Kevin, for being our mic runner again. We so much appreciate that. Thank you, Frank, for recording this and doing the sound system for us. And I found out that we still have 3 bags available of dog treats. So if there's anyone in this room whose dog did not get a little baggie of dog treats, please. All right, good. So that should take care of it then. All right. And because I am likely to forget, although I'd like to hold off on this, but I might forget it if I do, I have a very special door prize that was just brought to me to share with all of you. So Vivian, get ready to draw. And what this is Chef James' business card. And he is giving 2 people breakfast in the Aquaterra restaurant tomorrow morning. And he says that he really, really is partial to labs, although he loves all dogs. So, who is our lucky winner?
Hey, Frank, I'm accompanying you for breakfast.
Ah, Frank Cuda?
No, Frank Cuda.
All right.
Hey, somebody with a Labrador.
That's right. That's right. Okay, wonderful. And I just want to publicly thank the restaurant and the staff actually throughout the entire hotel. This has been an incredible staff. So as you get an opportunity, as you're walking around and interacting with them, please be sure to tell them how much we appreciate them and thank you. All right, let's give them an applause if anybody's in here. All right. So before we hear from our keynote speaker, Josette, I hate to put you on the spot, but Josette had a little bit of a report for us from the Canadian Guide Dog Association or whatever they call themselves. Okay, sorry. And so Josette, you want to take just a couple minutes? And she needs a mic. Yeah.
Coming your way. Here you go.
Here. I'll need someone to hold it because I'm reading Braille.
I think we're going to have to rename him. Mike.
Okay, thank you. The 11th Paws for Independence Guide and Assistance Dog Conference was held from Thursday, October 15th to Saturday, October 17th at the Vancouver Metro Hilton Hotel in Burnaby, British Columbia. On Thursday, October 15th, a silent auction along with a delicious banquet was held. Guests were also treated to a fabulous folk concert by Bob Bossin, a native of British Columbia, who used to belong to a group called String Band in the 70s and early 80s. He also sold CDs and his book. They were made available. A hospitality suite was open on the evenings of the 15th and 16th, with delicious snacks and much socialization. The conference was chaired by Rosamond Van Leeuwen and hosted by Tammy Grennan. and co-hosted by Vicki Curley, who, by the way, is a GDOI board member. They both did an excellent job. Friday's and Saturday's topics were educational, informative, and full of useful information. The array of topics included, there is an app for that. The representatives were from BC and Alberta Guide Dogs and Pacific Assistance Dog Society, PADS. A fictitious story about a guide dog user, Monica, and her guide, Ashler, was told about their travels to Hawaii using many of these apps. Now, I put a list of apps, but I'm not going to go into that. I just wanted to mention, though, that they are available through Rosamond, who is the chairperson for the convention, and I'll make sure that Sherry, Rita will email it to anybody who would like it in case there's any apps that might be useful that people don't know about. Handling new places with your dog was presented by Chelsea White of the Seeing Eye. The topic included everything that most people know about, that we're taught at their schools in training, more or less. Training dogs for people with PTSD, was presented by representatives from Vancouver Island Compassion Dog Society. This mainly dealt with the training of the dogs for people with, who came back from various wars facing this condition. And they also were working along with Guide Dogs of the Desert, trading information back and forth. An update from the guide dog schools was given, and the schools represented were the BC, Alberta, and Alberta Guide Dogs, Canadian Guide Dogs for the Blind, Dog Guides Canada, which is a school in Oakville, Ontario, and Guide Dogs for the Blind, and Guiding Eyes for the Blind, Pacific and Assistant Dog Society, PADS, and the Seeing Eye Incorporated. A question and answer session followed. Becky Davidson of Guiding Eyes for the Blind conducted a topic on self-advocacy and conflict resolution. Useful advice was given on how to handle advocacy, related situations and how to resolve them. Role-playing by two persons in regard to being denied housing was done and how to resolve it tactfully and professionally. Sarah Griffiths, a holistic veterinarian, gave an informative talk on holistic supplements and recommended dog foods for the working dog. Bill Thornton of BC Alberta Guide Dogs gave a report on the new Guide Dog and Service Dog Act. The act is in the process of being written, and what they are doing is they're wanting to get assistance from guide dog users and various organizations who can get this professionally done. And guide dog users is GDUI, that is being contacted, a number of other people who would like to help with that,
It's a very complex thing. A couple of the things they're looking into doing is people being allowed to keep their retired guides in their homes with them, and also puppy raisers will be able to take the puppies into all public places. That currently isn't in effect, and people just assume that it can be done.
Josette, are we getting close?
Getting
to,
close, okay. Yeah. then Charles Nason gave a report from Guide Dogs for the Blind. The topic was those going home with their dogs, and most of that information was stuff that we already learn in training. And Ben Francis of Canadian Guide Dogs for the Blind discussed various weather conditions in which we travel with our dogs, and there was a question and answer session following that. And then the only other thing was door prizes were given, and I also donated candy and fudge and stuff for a little auction, which we're probably due here. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Josette. We really appreciate that. The Canadian group holds their conference, is it every 2 years? Okay.
Excellent.
And I was hoping to go this year, but I was not able to. So anyway, hopefully 2 years from now I'll be able to attend. So thank you for giving us that report. We appreciate that. At this time, I'd like to hand the mic over to Danette, who is going to introduce our guest keynote speaker.
All right. There you go, Ms. Dixon. Gotcha. Here it is.
That would be me.
Sherry, do you want him to go up there or stay here?
Whichever you're more comfortable with, Clark.
I will have the pleasure to introduce Clark Roberts. He's a speaker, an author, an inspirational speaker. He speaks to schools, preschools, parks departments, anybody who will listen about guide dogs. He's had a guide dog for about 30 years, and for over 30 years, and Ariella, I think that I said that right, is, sorry. Sorry. She is his sixth, and maybe only has been home for 6 weeks. And here's Clark. Thank you, Clark.
Yay!
Excuse me.
So hopefully you won't get an indigestion from lunch. Yes, eat a dog cookie. You know, they say that it's healthy. It's whole food.
How do you pronounce her name?
Her name, my current guide's name that's lying on the floor is Aurelia.
Aurelia.
Aurelia. And she's a really a good girl. They tell me that in Italian it means the golden one. And there's even a jellyfish that's called Aurelia. That's what I found out when I met her through the puppy raisers. Okay. But we'll talk about that. We'll talk about them maybe in a little bit, but I want to talk today at a presentation that I would title Connected by the Leash. Because the leash is very, very important, and it connects you in many, many ways. So I'm going to ask you to do something that some of you might not be able to do. Some of you might be able to do, but we're going to do it anyway. So close your eyes. And think about this. All of your hopes, your dreams, and your desires are in front of you. All of the things that you enjoy doing. Your music, your sports, your hobbies, your work. And then a doctor steps into your world and tells you that within the next 15 to 18 years, you're going to be totally blind. Nothing that you can do to change or to alter the course other than to accept or to reject what is in front of you. What will you do? For those of you whose eyes are closed, you may now open them. I was an 18-year-old freshman at the University of Idaho when that happened. I sat in a doctor's office in Pullman, Washington, February 28th of 1973, to listen to him tell me that I have retinitis pigmentosa. I've met some of you this yesterday that are in the RP club. All five of six of us who trained when I was with Aurelia were in the RP club. But I was a freshman sitting in that doctor's office listening to him telling me that I have retinitis pigmentosa. So for the next 45 minutes as he would talk, I would listen, but I didn't listen because I didn't want to listen. I went into shutdown mode. I got mad, I got frustrated, I got angry. And then I would leave to drive the 8 short miles from Pullman back to Moscow, where I was a freshman attending the University of Idaho. Before I knew it, the car was in front of my dorm, and I got out. I slammed the door, and I climbed 3 flights of stairs up to my dormitory room to enter an empty, dark room because, you see, my roommate, a junior, pre-veterinary major, lived in the library. Scott would not be back until midnight when they closed. I tore off my coat, and I sat on my dormitory floor bawling like a baby. Sitting there bawling, there were thoughts racing through my head faster than any computer can process. Sitting there processing all of these thoughts, thinking about blindness and blind people, because at that point in time, all that I knew about us folks was we didn't get to do much. And as I sat there bawling on my floor, my dormitory room, the one thought that was racing through my head was to check out, to be done with life and end it all. Because there wasn't much left to live for, as far as I knew. But because of the grace of God, I come here today to share with you this important fact. Life is a very, very, very precious gift. Unwrap it and cherish every single moment that it gives you. You don't know how long it is, but cherish it, use it, whatever it brings to you. As I started moving forward with being a member of the card-carrying society of the blind members, I was introduced to the white cane. Seymour and I didn't get along very well. We didn't exactly see eye to eye on things. And there were times when Seymour missed things. And when Seymour missed them, I found them. Yeah. I think some of you can relate. 1985, I was living in Calgary, Alberta, Canada, and I met a lady who had a guide. And I was very, very, very intrigued. Because you see, the thing that I came to realize real quickly as I interacted with this lady is that she got places quicker than I did. She got there less stress. And she got there without being beat up, bruised, or even bloody. which intrigued me. And I said, where did you get your dog? She told me. And I made application to two schools and was accepted at both. I went and I got my first. And I've been doing this now for 30 years. But I said, connected by the leash. Okay? Because you see, the leash is the first tool, first piece of equipment that you are introduced to you at whatever school you go to. You're given a very new, stiff leash, which is like a relationship. New, stiff, and it takes time. First, when you get that leash, you're going to start playing with it in your hand, hoping that it's going to get a little softer, a little more pliable. And the other thing that you're going to learn as you examine the leash, at least the one that I have, has two swivel snaps on each end, has a couple of D-rings, but it can have many purposes. It can be a long leash used for relieving. It can be a short leash when you're healing and working your dog. It can be a tie down. And there are many other purposes that it could have. But the most important thing is that it connects you to your dog. But the dog is not the only thing that you're connected to. Because you're now connected to puppy raisers. You're connected to instructors. You're connected to an organization, wherever that dog came from. You're connected to an administrative staff that's connected to that organization. You're connected to donors that love this organization to the nth degree and are willing to do whatever they want, they can and will do to make it possible for you and I to have the tool that we want to use to go out into society and have that freedom and confidence. Because you see, the two things that everybody in this room has that's in common is that we're all members of the visually impaired society, and the majority of us have a dog sitting at our sides, laying at the floor, that allows us to have that freedom and that confidence to go and to do what we want to go and do, whatever that is in and through your life. But you have to be connected. And not only do you have to be connected, or that you are connected, it is through faith and trust that you chose to grab a hold of the leash and also to grab a hold of the harness. You see, once you receive a leash, soon they're going to walk into your room on D-Day and they introduce you to your four-legged friend. And you connect your leash to their collar. And you start to build the relationship between you and your dog as you become confident in knowing that they've been trained to go and to do what they know that they're supposed to go and to do. But now you start to have that confidence through the relationship to go and do what you want to go and do. I've been doing this now for 30 years, and each dog has given me new adventures. Each dog has given me multiple stories. And out of all of those multiple stories,
I know that each and every one of you has multiple stories. And if you would like to share them with me, I would like to put them into my next book. Because I was here yesterday selling my book. Some of you purchased it. I still have a few copies left that I brought today. You can come talk to me. We can talk about that later. But you see, if I had not been connected, if I had not accepted by faith, through trust, to accept the leash, to then grab a hold of the harness handle, and to give the command, I would not know what it is like to use one of these animals for mobility. I remember day one, when I grabbed a hold of the harness, gave the command, not knowing how the pull is going to be, because it's all different, guys. You know that. Sometimes you get to go for a quick airplane flight.
Sports car.
Yeah, or a sports car. Sometimes they kind of ease into it a little bit, and then they kind of shift gears getting up to fourth gear. But you never know. And you have to get used to that so that you can go do what you want to go do. I could tell you stories about all of my dogs, but I won't bore you with all of those. Okay, I'll share a couple. Just because I need to, okay? Missy, otherwise known as Miss Mischief, kept my life interesting. Probably the most interesting time started by her eating half a bag of Hershey's Kisses. Okay? But the interesting thing about that is that she not only ate the kisses, she unwrapped them all. Mm-hmm. Then there was Mr. Hot Toddy, a German Shepherd that I had a lot of fun with. I was doing a presentation in a high school in East Oakland. Needed to move the presentation that morning because I was doing three presentations. So we're now walking down the hallway of this high school, inner city, Oakland, California. And I hear all the shuffling around the lockers as we're walking down the hallways. And then all of a sudden I hear somebody from the end of the hallway, "Stash the drugs, here comes the dog." And I'm thinking, you know what? You want to think I'm a drug cop? That's fine. And my cousin who had arranged for it, she thought, maybe we should fly you down about every 2 months and just let you walk the halls. Then there was Lacey, my corporate lady. She was a black Labrador, raised by a gentleman out of the San Francisco Bay Area. She started traveling when she was 11 weeks old. When I got her, she'd already racked up 150,000 air miles. Mm-hmm. She knew how to work airports. But like I said, she took her first flight at 11 weeks old. Rand needed to fly from San Francisco to Denver. And he figures, you know what? I'm not flying straight through. So I'll lay over in Salt Lake, take her out, get her business done. I'll get back on the plane and fly to Denver. So he boarded the plane in San Francisco. Gets her all situated, and because of all of his miles and everything, he flies first class. He's all situated up there, business class. Plane takes off. It's going up to nice altitude, a cruising altitude of 30,000 feet. And about this time, Rand looks down on the floor and goes, "Oh, no! My puppy's gone!" Lady about eight rows back goes, "I have a puppy." So for the duration of the flight from San Francisco to Salt Lake, it takes him to get his puppy back. He gets off the plane at Salt Lake. He goes out, takes care of her. It's now time to board the plane. He boards the plane, gets back on, and he's sitting there before they push the plane out on the tarmac. He says, what am I going to do? This didn't work. He goes, aha. Pulls the magazine rack holder back. He empties the magazines. And there she sat for the duration of the flight in the magazine holder. That picture was recreated for the book through some folks at the Museum of Flight and my photographer and a puppy racer with an 11-week-old black Labrador. Yes. Then there's Mr. Arbuckle, who's at home, now a retired guide. Arbuckle loves water in any form other than swimming. Yeah. The two times that he has been in to actually swim, he swims with his mouth open, consuming as much as he can before he gets to shore. Mm-hmm. He also thinks he's an 80-pound lap dog. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And now I have Aurelia, a 52-pound golden retriever, yellow Labrador cross. I don't know where all the adventures are going to take me with her. But here's the other interesting thing about all of those dogs that I've just talked about. Attached to each one of them are people that I've gotten to know and I've built relationships. Connected to Betty, to Missy, was Burke, Betty Bordner's aunt. I got to meet Burke, got to meet Betty, and I got to meet the whole entire Bordner family. A few years ago, I got reconnected with Burke, who owns Slidewaters in Chelan, Washington. If you're ever there, he'll let you in with your dog. He lets puppies in, too. Attached to my German Shepherd was a lady raising puppies in Sacramento. She was the leader of the puppy club, and her daughter was the one who raised Toddy. Connected to Lacey was the Morimoto family. Rand made it possible for me to do 3 business trips because he gave me his miles to use. He donated a laptop computer to me to help me to be able to be on the go with my speaking and authorship business. Mr. Arbuckle, I've been in every single one of their kids' schools to speak. I've stayed in their homes. I've prayed with them. I've laughed with them. I've cried with them. But it's all because of a relationship. And a relationship that I'm now building with John and Victoria, who live now in Southern California, who used to live down in Oregon, and he was connected to Nike. And connected to that was a very, very good friend of mine that I had lost track of that I'd grown up with in Southern Idaho. But it's because of relationships. It's because of being connected. For the majority of us, it's being connected by the leash. So my challenge to you today is to remember that life is a gift. Unwrap it and cherish every single moment that it gives you. And go out and live your life in a way that encourages others to live their life in a new way. Thank you very much.
Thank you so
Clark's
much, Clark.
Book is called Wags to You, Short and Long Dog Stories and Dog Tales. Oh, I'm doing good. Sorry, Dog Tales. And yeah, that's what all this is about, is building relationships, working together.
Okay, sorry. I had to say that.
Thank you so much. Thanks, Danette. We appreciate that. So
I just really want to say thank you, Clark. I don't know about you guys, but every time I hear somebody talk about how much we love our dogs and how much they mean to us, I always tear up. So now my nose is running. Thanks a lot, Clark. I guess it can be cold, too, just like our dogs. Anyway, that was beautiful, and I so much appreciate that. These dogs do mean so much to all of us. All right, let me see. How about a door prize?
I have a microphone to give away. No.
All right.
I was going, what's he handing me? I'm not sure what the door prize is yet. I'm waiting on that. And hello, hello. Hello, hello, hello. Oh, I know who this is, but I'm
while Vivian's looking that up, I also have to say that I timed Clark's speech perfectly because it gave me a chance to eat my lunch while he was speaking.
There will be
thank you a lot, Clark.
Okay. Perfect. Whoops. Maybe. Okay, this door prize is a tennis ball and a soft little squishy thing with, you know, a noisemaker. Yes.
Don't squeeze it.
No, I didn't. And some chocolates. And that goes to Nathan Brannon.
All right, Nathan. Yay. Mozart does not get the chocolates, Nathan. Do we want to do one more?
Nathan, here you go, sir.
Okay, while we're waiting on the next door prize, Marlena reminded me to mention that we still have raffle tickets for sale. This is for a 50-50 raffle, and Vivian has the tickets. So if you haven't bought any yet, or if you'd like to buy more, please come see Vivian after lunch.
And if you still want to pay your dues, you can do that.
Yes, if you still want to pay your dues and join us, we would be very happy about that, and we'll be up here at the front table. The drawing will be at the banquet tonight. We're going to do that next.
Okay. All right, I have the door prize, which happens to be some organic green tea. Organic green tea and a dog toy that's similar to a Kong, only it's not the honeycomb kind of shape, and a dog collar. It is a nylon collar, and I'm looking to see if it's got this safety snap, and I think it does. Yes, it does, and it's actually metal for the snap. And that is going to Jim Turry.
Yay! All right, Jim. Yay.
Okay.
There's and that. Yes, the collar is for Jim.
Yeah, I'm not sure it'll.
That's right.
Okay. Yes, that's
we
right.
Have two?
Yes,
okay.
Those two can be connected by the leash.
And Sherry,
yes.
Just FYI, we have two door prizes left, I believe.
Okay.
Just so you know.
Okay, so before we do the final two door prizes, Josette is very kindly donating an item to us that she described a little bit this morning. And this is a collection of candies that she brought down from Canada. And having tasted most, if not all of them, I can tell you they're wonderful and delicious. And so we would like to just have a really speedy, fast auction.
Or dog toy and, I hope it's still in there.
Okay. Dog toy and dog treats, as well as treats for the humans. So first of all, thank you, Josette. That was very, very kind of you. So I'm not an auctioneer, but we'll pretend like I am. I'll act like I am. Anyway, so who would like to make the first bid?
$2. Did you say two or ten?
Okay. $2?
$2.
Do I hear three?
Five.
Great. Do I hear ten?
Ten.
Do I hear 15? 20. Wonderful. All right. Good deal. Do I hear 23? 23. Do I hear 25? 25. All right. Do I hear 30?
Yeah.
30. All right. Do I hear 35? Do I hear 35? Going once? At 30, do I hear 35? Going twice? Sold for $30. Yay! All right. And who's the lucky winner?
They
are. All right. Very, very good. That's great. Okay, so also we have two more door prizes. Vivian, it's yours.
Okay, we have three dog.
Don't be too surprised. My name is Man.
Is the mic on the way? Hey, Kevin.
Yes.
Can we get the mic over here to Vivian, please?
Yes, I can.
Thank you.
Right.
Or impatiently.
Why?
Okay. Whoops.
Okay. The dog prize that we have now, our door prize, is for
prize.
The dog. It's a tennis ball. A tennis ball, squeaky baseball, and a big ball with fuzzy things sticking in it that makes it look like a crab. It is the coolest darn toy. And the winner is, if I get this in the right direction, and I have it upside down, of course. I don't read Braille upside down very well. Mark Adrian.
Yay!
Sweet. Okay, that goes to Mark. Okay, thank you, Kevin. That's right. 8 weeks.
Yeah, 8 weeks.
Okay, the next one, or our last one, is a package of dog treats. And it looks like another package of dog treats. Wow. And so
some dog's going to be happy.
Excuse me. It looks like an ice cube tray that has dog bone shapes.
Oh boy!
And I think these are homemade greeting cards. And from Haley, are these from you?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah.
Yay. The cards will be amazing.
Yes, they are fantastic. And the winner is.
My name,
no. Yeah, I know. Listen, Rumi. Lene.
All right, Lene.
That goes to Lene Noggle.
I'm sure Faith will not enjoy those dog treats one bit.
Not even.
Okay, well, I think that this brings our meeting to an end. And I just, yes. Absolutely.
That since we have so many new faces in the room, maybe before we close, could you just like name a couple of the committees so that people know?
Oh, that's an excellent idea.
They can serve.
Oh, yes, indeed. Okay, so we have.
She was. She's not.
She's not here.
Oh, she's not. Oh.
Well, okay, that's what you get for leaving early.
That's all right.
She was here. Yep. Okay. I am. This name is, yeah, I know, Rumi. Okay. Yeah, let's see. I have it upside down. Boy, if I could read Braille well, you know, it might be nice. Okay, Randy. Hang on. No, this is the other Randy.
Tetra?
No. Arvin.
Andy.
Andy, I'm sorry.
All right, Andy.
I can't
Yay.
Read my Braille. Okay. Yes, he is. Yeah, I know. One, two, and yes, right.
Okay. So, Marlena asked me about committees, and I'll be happy to tell you about those. And I'll probably leave something out, so you guys help me out. Anyway, we have the fundraising committee, which, of course, all of us on the board are constantly thinking about fundraising, but we need some non-board members to help us out. And what I'd like to say about that, too, is that it might work really well in this state since we live in different parts of the state. Shh. Can everyone hold it down, please? Thanks. Since we all live in different parts of the state, but we tend to kind of, you know, live in clumps around areas, it would be great if every area of the state had a fundraising event of some kind this coming year. And it can be anything that will raise money for guide dog users, anything from a bake sale to a walkathon to a whatever you can think of. So be thinking about how you can help with that. And even if you don't want to head it up, if you have a good idea, send me an email. I'll see what I can do to help you or to find somebody in your area that can help or whatever, okay? Or we might just steal your idea. So that's fundraising. We also have membership and public relations committee, and that certainly is working on the website, but we're working on other things as well, and I think Sunshine falls under that as well. And our Sunshine, if anyone doesn't know, our Sunshine Committee sends out cards to people who are losing a guide, either death or retirement, or getting a new guide, or have some sort of their own illness that they're dealing with, or birthday or anniversary. Yes. We'd like to know your birthdays and anniversaries if you'd like to share those so that we can send you a card from Guide Dog Users. Okay. We also have the, help me out, fundraising. Oh, Advocacy Committee, which there isn't usually much going on that we know about. Generally, when we do find out there's an issue, it's through WCB and Sue Amateur. So, but anytime there is a dog-related issue that comes to them, that is handled or is handled at least in partnership through Guide Dog Users. So that's another thing. And then we have Convention and Spring Fling Planning Committee. And I know that Holly and Marlena would be thrilled to have help on that. Because those are two very big events that have to have a lot of planning. More than likely it will. We haven't made a firm decision, but I can't imagine. The question was, will the next Spring Fling be held in conjunction with the WCB leadership and board meeting? And more than likely it will be. And yeah, that would be the first weekend in May, more than likely. And pardon? Yes, it would be here. Yeah. So that format has worked well for us in the past, and I don't foresee changing that this coming year. I would like this past Spring Fling, we were able to offer some travel money to people who had to travel from long distances to get here. And I would like to be able to do that again, but it does cost money, obviously. So that's why fundraising is so important, because we do have these two events a year. I think that's all the major committees. We do have a constitutional committee, but right now there's not anything going on at the state level that we've been involved with, but that's not to say there won't be tomorrow. So So if that's something you have an interest in, let me know. I send out emails asking for things and informing you guys of things, and I would love more response. So I just encourage that. And let's see. I think that's all. Does anybody else have anything else? 50-50 raffle tickets and dues up here at the front table. And Clark has a couple of books for sale as well.
So as soon as we're done, if you'd like to become a new member, please just go to the head table, and one of those lovely ladies will help you out.
And Holly was going to say we have two calendars, and I think one we're leaving out.
Can one of you folks at the head table do a audible alert and make sure folks know where the head table is?
Right up here. Can everybody hear me? All right. Everybody get that? If not, you know, just somebody will help out. So
dues are $15.
Dues are $15 until January 1st when they go up to 20. All right. Thank you, guys. You've been absolutely wonderful. Thanks so much.
We have a question from Julie Brandon.
Yes. Julie. I can't hear. Can everyone stay quiet for a moment? I need to hear a question.
The question was, if you pay dues, does that automatically make you a WCB member?
Yes, it does. Yes.
Call Lene Noggle.
Somebody else?